with Father Brian being gone, I feel like I've been like hopelessly running, what is it called, by the seat of your pants constantly. So if you didn't know, we had confirmations today. Welcome. We're so glad you're here to celebrate with these confirmandi today. Father Brian is also hopelessly disorganized, so I guess I just take after him, right? Today is a great day. A great day for our parish, a great day for those entering the church today. We like to bring in the confirmandi, so those who have been baptized Catholic, but for whatever reason have never received confirmation, the full initiation to the church. So today we bring them in a week before the Easter Vigil. That way you all can partake fully in the mysteries of the Triduum. The Triduum is so special, right? It's the highlight. It's the fullness of the liturgical year, the crown, everything. And so today I'm actually not going to preach on the Passion, the beautiful gospel that we had today. I want to preach more on our first gospel. So come to Good Friday, right? Father Brian would usually shame people and say, I expect you to be there. That might be a little strong, but I invite you to be there, right? For the Triduum liturgies, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil. Again, the highlight of the liturgical year, the liturgical calendar. I'll save the preaching of the Passion for then, or Father Vitold will be here on Good Friday. So come one, come all. I was talking to some of our school kids, the second graders specifically this week, and I was, you know, talking about how Palm Sunday works, reading of the Passion liturgy and whatnot, and they were like, wait, so we have to yell, crucify him? What if we don't want to yell that, right? And it was so cute because there's just this innocence to say, we don't want to crucify him. And I told all the boys, at least, I said, well, then all of you guys have to be priests, because then you play the priest role, right? You don't say, you don't actually say, crucify him. Today, the main thing I want to talk about is our first gospel, which is the theme of Palm Sunday. The entrance, joyful entrance into Jerusalem. Jesus comes into Jerusalem. The fathers of the church often talk about how Jerusalem is an image for our own soul. Origen, one of the great scripture commentators, he talks about how when we pray that great prayer Christ taught us, the Our Father, and we specifically say, thy kingdom come, we're begging God's kingdom to come and reign in our soul. And today, that's what I want to kind of walk us through, that Christ comes into Jerusalem as king today, and may he also come into our soul today as king. If you've never been to the Holy Land, I hope you get the opportunity to go someday. Saint Jerome calls the Holy Land the fifth gospel, the place that we go to learn more about the good news, the fifth gospel. When you get the chance to go, you might be a little fearsome, worried of like, how this will affect, maybe negatively, how I begin to read the gospel, affect my imagination, how I enter in. But it has such a profound effect. We can't understand the Passion and what Jesus is doing during Holy Week unless we understand the topography of what's going on in Israel. The topography. Jesus spends most of his life up in the north in Galilee, in Nazareth. He performs all these wonderful miracles. You go to Galilee today, there's all these sites all the way around the lake where you go, the Sea of Galilee, which is like a very tiny sea. It's not even a sea, it's like a tiny lake, honestly. All these sites, right? And you can go to the Mount of the Beatitudes, where Jesus gave that great sermon. And you can go to Capernaum, where Jesus gave John 6, the Bread of Life discourse. You can travel around there, and it begins to light up, and you get to see the beautiful places where Jesus performed these amazing miracles. And then there's a stark turning point in the Gospels, where it says Jesus turns his face towards Jerusalem, and he begins to walk that way. In order to get to Jerusalem, though, from Galilee, you first have to go down south, and you go along the Jordan River. The Jordan River runs right from the Sea of Galilee into the Dead Sea. So you can imagine not just the 12 apostles, But it says crowds follow Jesus all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem. So these crowds going down south, down to the Dead Sea, and they stop right before they turn west and head up to Jerusalem. They stop in a town called Jericho. Jericho is right at the Dead Sea there, probably the location of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. And what's so fascinating is Jesus in the Dead Sea in Jericho there, it's the lowest place on earth. Something like 2,000 feet below sea level. And then Jesus goes and he begins to ascend. You see, Jesus starts in Galilee, but he has to descend first before he can ascend the mountain. Ultimately, the mountain of Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place of his crucifixion. Jesus has to descend before he can ascend. And it's very specific that he's doing this entering into Holy Week. In order for God to come into our lives, into our soul, we first must descend with him. And only then, when we reach maybe our low places of life, we cry out, and then we're able to be rescued by God to ascend the heights. Okay, so Jesus has this crowd following him. He turns west, and he begins to go up and ascend from the below sea level up into Jerusalem. This would be similar for us of like walking from here up to Conifer. It's not an easy journey as they're climbing. As they're climbing, Jesus begins to tell all these parables to those crowds following him, to his apostles, to his disciples. And all these parables have to do with a king. You can see this mostly in Luke's gospel. He talks about a king who has a kingdom, but for whatever reason, he steps away from his kingdom for a little bit. And he gives his, caretakers, what are they called, like farmers and whatnot, he gives them talents and says, I want you to take care of my kingdom when I'm gone. And one day, that king will return and come back to his kingdom. He tells about seven of these parables, specifically in Luke's gospel, as he's walking up to Jerusalem. And then we reach today, which is Palm Sunday. Jesus enters into Jerusalem. It's Holy Week. The prophecies knew that God would appear, the Messiah would appear during Passover week. This is no coincidence that Jesus is coming up to Jerusalem, a king who's left his kingdom, who's returning. Psalm 118, which is what we heard at the very beginning, Jesus is screaming this out. Psalm 118 was quoted whenever a king of Israel was given a crown, crowned as king. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're singing that, they're praising that as Jesus goes up into Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, which is where the Holy of Holies is. The new Holy of Holies has come. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The king has left and he now has returned. There's a great prophecy from Zechariah. And any good Jew would have known the messianic prophecies. That when the Messiah comes, he'd be riding on a donkey. Jesus could have just walked up the hill. It probably would have been simpler. I don't know if you've ever ridden a donkey. I remember on a mission trip to Peru a few years back, they were very generous. They got this donkey from the fields, and they had the priest that we were with, Father Jason, get on this donkey. Well, donkeys have very spiny backs, all right? It did not work well. So, and plus, Father Jason's really tall, so like as he's riding on the donkey, his legs are like dragging on the street. Here's what Zechariah 9 says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus isn't just entering into Jerusalem during Holy Week. He's shouting as loud as he can. I am the Messiah. I am him. I'm the promised one who's come. I will fulfill all your hopes and dreams. I am him. Will you trust me? Will you follow me? Will you enter into this Passover week with me? He's screaming from the rooftops, I am the Messiah. There's two crowds that are in Jerusalem during this week. And this is the image for our soul. The first crowd is who we hear in our first gospel for today. Christ, you are the King. Hosanna in the highest. You are the Messiah. He is here. We proclaim him. But then there's another crowd who we encounter in our second gospel on Good Friday. Those who yell, crucify him. Those who reject the Messiah. This is an image of our soul. Brothers and sisters, we're at war sometimes. There's a battle within this world. There's a battle sometimes within our own souls, where part of our soul says, the King reigns within me. Jesus, you are the Messiah. You can take a hold of my heart. But aren't there not other parts of our hearts that we're afraid to let go of? That we're afraid to surrender? That we're afraid to give over to Christ to be King? Today, Christ returns. All those prophecies about how a king leaves the land and comes back and dwells. My dear confirmandi, today Christ returns in your soul. For whatever reason, you weren't fully initiated in the church, baptized Catholic, but never received the full initiation. And maybe you feel like that's your story, where you're like that king, baptized, the King of the universe, Jesus Christ, reigned in your soul for a little bit, but then he left. And the good news that you're being received, the fullness of initiation into the church today, confirmation and First Holy Communion, is that Christ returns as King, and he will dwell in a new way within you. The indelible mark of confirmation, and then Christ, his true flesh, his true body, his blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, Christ regains his kingship within you today. What an amazing gift that is. There's a battle that takes place this week in Jerusalem. That battle between those two crowds. One proclaims Christ is King, the other one crucifies him. Brothers and sisters, today I invite you deeper in to allow Christ to reign in your hearts, to surrender even those places where maybe we're afraid to give over, those places that we hold on to, that we grasp onto. Today, let Christ reign in your souls.